Well, praise God. It's great to be in the house of the Lord, right? As David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. And as children of God, we should always be glad when we come into the house of the Lord. No matter what your situation or circumstance might be, things will change once you get in the presence of the Lord. Things will change once you get in the worship of the Lord. Things will change once you get in the praise of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I've had a great opportunity to speak this morning as well. So you getting this is Double Dose Sunday. All right. So you're getting a double dose. Chris was all up in my stuff. He preached. We can go home now, right? Chris did a good job. No, but God is good. I just thank and praise God for each and every opportunity that I get a chance to speak and just to share the word and what's on my heart. And you know what? I feel that the heartbeat of God is right now for this time, this place that where we're at. How many know that God operates in seasons? Amen? And just because, you know, it's winter, it might be winter right now, things don't stop growing in winter. The leaves fall off the trees, but the trees don't stop growing. You do know that, right? Even though it's snowing and it's cold and everything else, them little saplings didn't grow up to there, right, just because the winter came. They continue to grow and grow and grow, and that's what you have to understand about your relationship and your life with God, that you should continue to grow no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what the situation or circumstance that is going in your life. You have to remember you have an enemy of your soul that is going to try to stop you from getting to the place that God has already ordained in your life. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you now consider yourself a believer, and to believe means that I'm trusting in, I'm adhering to, and I'm relying on. So if you're trusting in, adhering to, and relying on God, you're going to get to the place of that destination. God never said that it was going to be easy serving him. God never said that this was going to be a cakewalk. God never said that you're going to dot every I and cross every T. God never said that things were just going to roll out like you think they're going to roll out, that there's going to be opposition. Jesus said in John 16:33, that trials and tribulations you will have. He said in one translation, he said, I promise you, because of your connection with me, trials and tribulations you will have, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And in your connection with the Lord, you have to understand that I am an overcomer. That's who I am. That's the way God sees me. Through my relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, that's how God sees me in my relationship to him. And as I was saying earlier in the first service, that sometimes we try to put God in compartments, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says that the whole Godhead dwelt in Jesus bodily. So when you accept God, you get it all. You get the Father, you get the Son, you get the Holy Spirit. All right, but you have to understand, they all operate. It's only one God, but they operate in different functions. Like me, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm a grandfather. All right, but I don't operate in the same way with my kids and my grandkids as I do with my wife. All right, but I'm still Donald. I'm still one person. All right, and that's what you have to understand, too, that you are body, you are soul, and that you are spirit. And we serve a holistic God that wants everything together in uniform with him, in the oneness with him, in our mind, in our spirit, in our emotions, in our finances, in everything that we do. And it takes time to get to that place. We live in such a fast-paced world, and it's even creeping into the church, that everybody wants to get to this place so fast. But you have to understand, part of the struggle, the butterfly understand that part of the struggle of coming out of that cocoon is helping him to get to the place that God wants him to be. Without him pumping his wings, the blood is not going to be able to get to the place to sustain him to fly and do everything that the transformation does in your life. And you have to understand that as being a Christian, your life should be transformed. You should not be the same person you was when you first gave your life to Jesus. Amen? That something should have changed in your life. People should see a change in your life. That she should see a change in the way you act. They should see a change in the way that you operate. They should see a change in everything that you do. But that only comes through relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was saying earlier, that I was just so blessed when Dr. Leon came here, Dr. Leon Van Rooyen, and he spoke that word about being plugged in and turned on. Because a lot of people come to church, you're plugged in to the building, but you're not turned on to the person. Because you can have a whole bunch of appliances and things in your house that you plug in. But if you don't turn it on, it ain't worth nothing to you. You just spend a whole bunch of money for a whole bunch of plastic. Because that's what most of the stuff is, plastic nowadays. Hard plastic, but it's plastic. But we have to understand as believers that God just don't want us to be plugged in. He wants us to be turned on. Turned on to the fullness and the capacity of what he has ordained for us to be. But in order to understand that, we have to understand the teachings of Jesus Christ, what Jesus came to do. He just didn't come to save us from our sins. Thank God for that. He just didn't come that we may have eternal life. Thank God for that too. But he came to infuse us with his life, that we may live victorious lives. What Chris was talking about during the giving, that we live in victory in every area of our lives. Because you have to understand, when you think about the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus was not fragmented. He healed lepers. He didn't have leprosy. He dealt with demoniacs. He wasn't schizophrenic. All right? Everything that Jesus was, we have to understand that we could be too. As he is in the world, so are we. That's what the world says. So when you look at Jesus through the Gospels and see everything that he did, everybody he dealt with and how he did it so effectively, it was because of his relationship with the Father. And that you have to understand, I now have a relationship with my Heavenly Father because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. You're saved by that very act of Jesus going to the cross, being buried and resurrected again. That's the gospel. All right? That's the way you're saved. That's it. Not how much you fast, not how much you pray, although that's a good thing, not how much you read your word, which is a good thing, and you should do that. But it's because of the very act of what Jesus did on the cross. That's it. So the next time somebody asks you, how do you know you've been saved? How do you know you're saved? It's because I have accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross that day for my sin debt. Amen? That's it. Because if you don't do that, because if you don't do that, you're always trying to find some way to make yourself feel right in the eyes of God. See, because that cross is not enough for you, then I don't know what can help you. There's nothing we could do as a pastoral team to help you if that cross of Jesus Christ, what he did that day, is not enough for you. And I see so many people in this day and age, this modern day and age, you know, that we're living in, because it's so fast-paced. And our minds are racing so fast that we forget about what God has done. We forget, you know, these young people, as I speak to young people all the time, I tell them that you stand on the shoulders of somebody else. You didn't arrive here by yourself. So get that little entitlement spirit out of your head. You're not entitled to nothing. People sacrifice for you, for your life. When you couldn't do nothing for yourself, people were doing stuff for you. For you until you get to where you are right now. And we can't forget what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many people in this day and age who call themselves Christians, right, are forgetting that it ain't about you. It's about him. It's about his great love, his great desire to re-embrace his connection back to him so that you understand what you were created for. We weren't created to be the things that we have allowed ourselves to get involved in. And we don't have to go through the list of the things that we have allowed to get ourselves involved in, because you all know what you allowed yourself to get involved in. And that's all I'm going to say about that. All right? But the thing of it is, as we look through that, and like I said, with, you know, I was talking about Dr. Leon, because the word says that you'll have, Paul was speaking to the church in the first Corinthians 4, when he was explaining to the church that you will have many instructors in Christ. You'll have many people that's going to come into your life that's going to instruct you about Jesus, going to instruct you in the ways of the Lord, going to instruct you on how you should walk, instruct you how you should dress moderately and don't have everything hanging all out and all that other stuff, all right? You're going to have people that's going to instruct you about behavior, mannerisms, and all that other stuff, but you're only going to have few fathers. And it's good to have fathers in your life. I tell young people all the time that you need to get somebody in your life that's 15 to 20 years older than you are and allow them to speak harsh things into your life that you cannot see yourself. One of the only things that put steel in my backbone is because I had people that spoke into my life stuff I did not like. But I did not get offended. And I didn't walk away from the church. So many people get offended just because the pastor says something to you. Everybody wants a pastor until we have to speak into your life. Now all of a sudden you got a problem. But you need people. The church was designed for that. Jesus said in Ephesians 4 that he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Our job is to equip you to go out into this world, on your job, in the supermarket, in your neighborhood, no matter where you are, to do the work of the ministry. Ministry is work. Okay? Jesus had work. And Jesus didn't find idle people. He found fishermen. They had a job. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke was a physician. Matter of fact, he kind of rebuked those who just idled around when he was talking this parable about the vineyard, come work in the vineyard. He said to him, why are you just being around here idle, doing nothing? Come on, come in the vineyard and work. But we have to understand that what he was talking about being plugged in and turned on, you're the one that has to make the connection. That's what I'm talking about today, about making the connection. And we're going to speak out of John 15, the parable of Jesus speaking of the vine and the branches. Him being the vine and we being the branches. We're an extension of Jesus Christ. Everything you do in your life, you have to understand that I'm connected to somebody else. I don't have the liberty just to do what I want to do because we say that we give our lives to the Lord, but is that true in your life? Because once you give something, that's it. You release it. So if you're going to give your life to the Lord, you're releasing the life that you used to live, and now I'm giving it to you. That I am the clay and you are the potter. You shape me and make me and mold me into what you would want me to be. And you have to understand in your relationship with God, even though there's many members, it all looks different. Okay? Same God, same Holy Ghost, same word. But it's all going to be played out different in each and every one of our lives because we're unique people. You realize there's 7 billion people on this earth and none of us have the same fingerprints. There's not 2 people on this earth that have the same fingerprints. So regardless of what other people told you, you're a unique person. Because nobody else got what you got. Nobody else can do what you do. You were designed to do exactly what God created you to do. But there are certain things that we do collectively. You understand? There's certain things that we do collectively that help advance the kingdom of God. But there's certain things, gifts, talents, and abilities that you have that nobody else has. There's things that you could do that I cannot do because I don't have it. That's why they don't let me sing, okay? You preach, Pastor Don. You preach, okay? They don't let me sing. When we had the other church, Kim wouldn't let me sing, okay? You stay in your lane, boy, all right? Stay in your lane. That's why they disqualify you in the Olympics. If you step in somebody else's lane, you get disqualified. So I tried that lane and they disqualified me, so I can't go there no more. But I want you to be encouraged about this message, about making the connection. See, you know, sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we want to give up. Sometimes we want to quit. We want to cave in because of all the things that have happened to us in our life. But you have to understand, I am connected to something greater than myself. That's what Jesus came to teach about your relationship with the Father. And sometimes we miss that. But the world understands connections. As I was saying earlier, when you go into an airport and you got your cell phone, the battery's low, they got poles where you could connect to. Panera understands that you can connect to the Wi-Fi, you can connect to the phone. The coffee place, Starbucks, they understand that. The world understands about connection because they understand once you plug in your device in there, you're going to be there longer and they're going to connect to your pocket. Okay? They understand that. Okay? They understand that. So they allow you to connect. Yes, please come and connect. We have connection here. But we have to understand from a biblical perspective who we are and what we have been connected to. You have total access as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to everything that the Father has laid out. Every promise that he's made through his word. Every blessing. Jesus in Ephesians says, thanks be to God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But you got to understand where your connection is. Your connection is in Christ. Everything you see about the New Testament, Paul said in him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In him I live and move and have my very being. All right? It's because of his connection that he was able to do the things that he was able to do. How are you going to be able to do the things you're going to be able to do when you get a hangnail or if it's raining, you don't want to come to church? This man was shipwrecked, beaten, out in the sea one day, one night, all that other stuff, and he called it light afflictions. Why? Because of his connection. It was because of his connection, who he was connected to. And that's what you have to understand. Because Jesus was the master of taking something natural and turning it into a spiritual truth. If you read the Gospels and understand, Jesus would use whatever your mindset is. Jesus meets you at the level that you are. All right? He's not going to meet you where I'm at. He's going to meet you at your level. Matter of fact, I didn't even want to do this. I ran from God for 2 years until he slam dunked me in front of 35,000 people in the Superdome in New Orleans. Slam dunked me in front of 35,000 people. I'm on the floor crying in front of 35,000 people. I give up. It's too much. I'll do it. All right, so I understand. But you have to understand the connection. And since that time, I've been connected to God. Has everything been rosy in my life? No. Has everything went the way I thought it should go? No. Has there been difficulties? Yes, there have. All right? But I understood the connection. You know, when you read this word, you understand because Jesus is getting ready to go off the scene here. This starts out in chapter 13, when the Last Supper, all right, and Jesus washes their feet and everything, and then they get ready to move. He's headed towards the Garden of Gethsemane because he knows his purpose. But he doesn't allow stuff to get in the way of his purpose. So after the supper's over and everything, and he washes their feet, and he tells them that I being your Lord and Savior, wash your feet, you wash your brother and sister's feet. All right? Jesus has gave us many examples. But because of his connection to the Father, he didn't let nothing get in the way. He didn't let his brothers get in the way. He didn't let his family get in the way. He didn't let nothing get in the way. So as he continues to go and chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let not your heart be troubled. He's walking and talking with them on his way to the garden, knowing that I'm going to be betrayed, knowing that Judas is going to show up with the army, knowing that I'm going to be beaten, knowing that I'm going to hang on a cross, knowing they're going to desert me, knowing all the things that you know about Christ which happened to him. He still did not deter from the place he was supposed to go. Why? Because of his connection with the Father. Because of his connection with the Father. Here it is in John 14. Okay, I'm just going to read out of the Amplified right there. He said, you heard me tell you that I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. And if you really love me, you would be glad because I am going to the Father because the Father is greater and mightier than I. And as powerful as Jesus was, he knew that my connection was greater than what I'm living out. And that's what you have to understand as a believer. What you're connected to is greater than what you're living out, but you're going to get there. So anyway, Jesus starts out in this 15th chapter, and he starts out and he says that I'm the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Anybody knows anything about horticulture and all that stuff, know that there's a time when you prune the trees, usually spring or late fall, all right, so that you don't damage them. But the reason for doing it, you cut back all the dead stuff so that, therefore, the next season, that it's going to produce a fruit that's going to be more richer, more sweeter, and more appealing even to the eye. And sometimes we don't like what God does in our lives. But you have to understand, you're connected to him. Jesus said, I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Don't get mad at me when he starts clipping on you. Okay? Don't get mad at me when he starts moving things that you're out of your life, people out of your life that you think, I'm just so in love with him. I'm just so in love with her. But he's not part of the connection. You understand? Everybody that comes in your life is not connected to your life. The enemy will send people in your life to derail you off your life because he knows your destiny, and he knows that once you get to that point that he's not going to be able to handle you. Those who climb mountains know that there's a certain place when you get up in the mountain, there's no more snakes. It's called a snake line. So as they're climbing, they got to be, when they're putting their hands and they're looking, they got to make sure that they don't stick their hands somewhere where they're going to get bit. But there's a certain time in their climb when they realize, I'm above that place. I no longer have to worry about that. Let me climb to the top. And as a Christian, you got to know that there's going to be snakes. But I got to get above that point where I ain't got to worry about the snakes no more. But you have to understand, it's only because your connection with Christ. That's why Jesus said that I am the vine, you are the branches. And the same sap that's in the vine has to be in the branches. Not this woe is me, poor me. Did you ever hear Jesus say, woe is me, poor me? No. Never. Throughout his whole gospel, you have never heard Jesus complain about anything that he did. So why are we always complaining about something? It's too hot. They got the air conditioner on too, huh? This and that. We have become a people of complainers and don't understand I'm connected greater to something than my complaining. I'm connected to something greater than my addiction. I'm connected to something greater than my bank account. I am connected to something greater than the knowledge that I have right now. I am connected to something that's going to take me to the place I desire to go. But you got to be willing to do the work to get there. See, a lot of people like what successful people have, but they don't want to do the work to get there. They don't want to do the work to get there. A lot of people want a lot of things in their life, but they don't want to do what it takes to get to that point. But we have to understand that Jesus was saying, listen, he said that you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. John 17:17 says that, Father, sanctify them by your truth, because your word is truth. The more you allow this word to be a part of your life, I don't care what the condition of your life is, I don't care where you came into Christ, as long as you allow this word to continue to be in your life, God is going to continue to wash your mind, he's going to wash your heart, he's going to wash your spirit. Sanctify means to separate. God is going to separate you from things that is only going to be toxic and pollute your life. And for the life of me, I don't understand why we like things that intoxicate our lives and pollute our lives, because it's so appealing. Okay? It's so appealing. See, Jesus' first miracle, the water. Water's not appealing. Water has no taste. But see, when God puts his hands on something, it became the best they ever had. Because the man said, listen, most people put out the best stuff so that when you're all drunk up, then they put out the cheap stuff. He said, but you waited to last to bring out the best stuff. See, so when you look at your life, you need to look at your life and say, because I'm who I'm connected to, the best is yet to come. See, the best is yet to come in my life. The best person I'm supposed to be is about to come in my life. The best life that I'm going to live is about to come in my life. The best speech that I have, the best attitude, the best mind that I have is about to come because of who I'm connected to. You can't lose the connection. You can't lose the connection. You have to understand that he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. There's nobody in Christianity that should be a lone wolf. Because Jesus said, you can't do what I'm asking you to do. You can't pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner against you. You can't forgive people who are unkind to you. Because remember, it was from the cross that Jesus himself said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's after they beat him, ripped his beard out, stabbed him in the side and everything else. See, we can't do it. It's not in our human makeup. See, we're body, soul, and spirit, but you have to understand you're a spiritual being experiencing natural things. You're not a natural being trying to experience spiritual things. That's backwards. We're spirit. Jesus said that those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So you have to understand I'm spiritual first, experiencing natural things. But because of my connection in the spirit, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that dwells in these bodies, the same exact spirit. And I know that's hard for us to wrap our heads around because we think of Jesus of doing all this stuff and all that. But he said, greater work shall you do. If you stay connected with me, he said, don't marvel at that stuff. For it's greater works you're going to do if you stay connected with me. And that's what he's saying here in this passage. And to abide means to dwell, to continue, to endure, okay, to be present. See, we want things, but we don't show up when you're supposed to show up. You don't show up when there's a special meeting and somebody's coming to speak into our lives, and you wonder why sometimes the battery's so low. Because the connection is here. Yes, you're tired. Yes, you work. Yes, yes, yes to all the excuses we make. So was I. Okay? When I went to Bible college, I was in construction, working 10 hours a day, 8 on Saturday. But my desire was to get the degree so that I can be who God wanted me to be. Okay? Because you can't have all that burning and don't have no learning, because you're going to burn out. Okay? There has to be a balance in your life and the things that you do. And Jesus is going to bring the balance. That's why he said, those who are heavy laden and burdened, come hook up with me. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. I'm not going to wear you out like the rest of the world wears you out. And I'm not going to put you in a mind that you're so high-minded that you're not going to get there anyway. All right, see, sometimes our expectation level is above our capacity to deal with what we're trying to deal with. Same way when people come into church, they have an expectancy of us as ministers and pastors, and when once we do not fulfill the expectancy, then they got a problem. But don't let me be your expectancy. Let him be your expectancy, because he has the power. He has everything that you need. That's why Jesus was teaching them about the Father. That's why he said to Peter, I understand now. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. Now I know that you have made that connection. See, even Peter made the connection. And Jesus didn't teach it to him. It was just from being around him. Do you understand? When you be around the things of God, God is going to connect with you. But you got to be around the things of God. We can't be out there and over there and expect God to show up over there. Because that happened one time when he said, Adam, where art thou? And it wasn't that God did not know where Adam was. He knew exactly where Adam was. But he was saying, listen, buddy, you better come back over here where I'm at. Because if I show up over there where you're at, there's going to be problems. And if you don't believe me, look at the cross. That's exactly what God was saying. You better come back over here where I'm at. Amen? So listen, we have to understand that we have to stay in place, because meaning abiding means to stay in a place, stay in a given place. That's why God knew that Adam was doing something different, because he had gave him a place. You understand? When you're abiding in God, you know your place. You know where you're supposed to be. Psalms 91 that says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. If you're not in that secret place, first of all, you got to find it. And it is the presence of God. All right? He that dwells, that doesn't mean he's running in and out. A dwelling place is a residence. When you go home, that's your dwelling place. That's what he's talking about here. He that dwells, Jesus said, abiding in me, dwelling on my word, dwelling on my mannerisms, dwell on the way that I speak, dwell on the way how I deal with people from every walk of life, even though they hate me and say all types of stuff about me. Dwell in me and see how I handle the situation, and then I want you to handle it the same way. Amen? But that's what he said, that your connection with him, you're going to have the ability to bear fruit. So you have to understand, in order to bear fruit, you got to change the root. Jesus said a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Why? It's because of the root. It's not the fruit. It's the root that's producing the fruit. So if you're rooted and grounded in God, the stuff that comes out of you should be the same thing that came out of him. That's why Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So that way, that is your marker to know what's really going on inside of you by the words that come out of your mouth. Even when you slam your finger in the dough. Okay? Because I know all of you say, oh, praise God, thank you, Lord, I slammed my finger in the dough. No, you do not. But you'll get there, okay? Because it's fruit. Okay? It's fruit. But you got to be persuaded of who you are. One of the saddest things I see in the body of Christ is people's not persuaded who you are. You don't even know that you're forgiven. Right. You can forgive everybody else, but you can't forgive yourself. How crazy is that? I'm running to people all the time. Well, I've done so bad, I just can't forgive myself. Well, get over yourself. Okay? Because Jesus went to the cross. You know that's a slap in the face when you say, I can't forgive myself, and God has forgiven you for everything? Everything you ever did. That's what justification is all about. And you heard me tell this story before, that my pastor was preaching one time when I first got born again and I was in the church, and he's preaching about justification. And then he said, just as if I'd never sinned. That thing hit me so hard. I was like, what? And right after the service came, I'm knocking on my pastor. I said, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, you was out there talking about justification. And you said, just as if I've never did nothing, that God looks at me because of Jesus in the blood, just as if I've never did nothing. I said, is that true? And he said, that's exactly true. That's, man, you talk about, you ever know when you let a dog out off a leash and he just run all over the place all crazy? And you, that was me, because I was off the leash after that. Once I knew that I was straight with God, that was it. That was it for me. I was done. And that's what you have to realize because of your connection with Christ. You're off the hook. Jesus was hung up for your hang-ups. You ain't going to hold on no more. Let go. Let go. Jesus was hung up for that. You were justified just as if you never did nothing. Does that mean you got a license just to go and do what you want? No. No, it does not. Because God will come after you. The Bible says that the Lord chases those whom he loves. All right? But we have to understand because of our connection that you have to keep your priorities straight. All right? You're the one. See, we put so much on God that we don't connect and understand that I got a part in this relationship. There's things that I have to do as well. All right? There's things that I have to do to keep my mind right. There's things that I have to do to keep my mind right. There's my mouth right. There's things that I have to do to keep my emotions right. That's your job. That's not his job. Okay? That's your job. All right, he says here in John 8 and 31. All right, for all those who are going with me. Then Jesus said unto them, he who believes in me and you abide in my word. There's something about abiding in God. Okay, you have to abide. He said that you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. It's your responsibility to find out what truth really is. Jesus spoke of himself saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But how many of us take time out to really see if what Jesus is saying is the truth, that he is who he says he is, and he will do what exactly he say he will do. See, Christ is a liberator. He wants to set you free. We are so bound by so many things in this world. But most of us are bound by our own unbelief about who we say or who Jesus said he was, and that he'll do exactly what he said he's going to do. That's what he told them, that you shall know the truth, and that's what's going to make you free. You're going to know the truth about yourself. You're going to know the truth about sin. You're going to know the truth about God, and that's going to liberate you. Amen? That's what Jesus came to do. He came to set you free. He is everything that we need. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Says, trust in the Lord thy God with all thy heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. That word acknowledge means to consult, to listen, and then to submit. How many times do you consult God about things in your life? How many times do you consult God about relationships in your life? How many times do you consult God about business decisions, jobs, husbands, wives, or anything else? And then listen to him and then submit to him. See, we ain't got a listening problem. We got to hear. We ain't got a hearing problem. We got a listening problem. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And a stranger, they're not going to listen to. See, when you're connected to God, you understand the voice, even in the midst of everything else. That's why kids, even if they get away from their parents, when they call, the kids can recognize, and the mothers can recognize your kid's voice. Amen? In the animal kingdom. Yeah, I'm an animal. My wife thinks I'm crazy anyway, but now I got Nat Geo. That's even more animals, all right? But in the animal kingdom, you can hear. The mothers hear the voice. Even if they get astray, the mothers, when their kids cry out, they can hear the voice. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear the voice of God in the midst of everything that you're going through? Do you hear the voice of God? Remember who you're connected to. You're connected to something greater than yourself. And the God of creation is also the God of the new creature. See, the most things that we fight with in God is this new order that God's trying to put in our lives. Because we don't realize that we're new creations. And we fight the process. We still want to go to the places we used to go, but that's not who you are anymore. You still want to hang out with the people you used to hang out with, but that's not who you are anymore. So we fight the process. But you have to understand that the same God that created everything is the same God that created the new creation miracle. And it brings divine order. When God spoke, said, let there be light, there was chaos in the darkness. But the light brought order. And you have to understand that I'm no longer in darkness. He has delivered me from the darkness and conveyed me into the love of his son. I no longer have to walk in darkness because of who I'm connected to. I no longer have to have dark thoughts because of who I'm connected to. I no longer have to be. And see, you have to be plugged in and switched on and be up to date. Because this progression goes on as you read it. He says fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. See, God don't expect you to stay in the same place where you are. He expects you to hunger and thirst for righteousness that you may be filled. The hunger has to come from you, same way natural hunger has to come. Now that you are born again, there's a new wiring in you. But you have to hunger for the things of God in order to be fulfilled by the things of God. Each and every day that you hang out with the Holy Ghost, each and every day that you hear this word, there should be a different appetite in your mouth for different things. You should no longer have the appetite for sin and things that are sinful, but you should have the appetite for what is righteous and holy before God. Amen? Because I have different wiring in me. I have a different heartbeat in me now. I have a different way of looking at things. I have a different perception because now I'm looking through the eyes of Christ. Psalms 119 and 18 says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eye, God, that I can see wondrous things from the things that you are teaching me. Open my eye, God, so I can see what you created me to be. Open my eyes, God, that I can be all that you created me to be. But you got to stay connected. You got to stay connected. You got to stay connected. And also, you have to upgrade your life. We upgrade our phones. We upgrade everything in this world. But do we upgrade our lives? It's because Jesus gave them an upgrade before I close. He gave them an upgrade. If you look at verse 9, he says, as the Father loved me, I have loved you. There it is. Abide in my love. Stay in my love. Stay in the place of my love. Now that you have experienced my love, stay in that place. Now that you understand that I so love the world that I sent my son, stay in that place. Don't come out of there. Stay in that place of love. Until you learn how to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Until you learn to love your husband. Until you learn to love their children. With all their mistakes and everything, don't forget how many mistakes that you have made in your life and God still loved you. You got to upgrade when Christ went to the cross. He says, if you keep my commandments and you will abide in me, my abide in my love, there it is again. just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he did not do himself. He had to stay in that place in order for him to be as powerful as he was in ministry. Verse 11 says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. God wants you full up. He don't want you empty. He wants you full up. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Here comes the upgrade, that you are my friends if you do whatever God commands you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Upgrade. Upgrade. You're going to know everything. Do you realize that? As a child of God, you can know everything. Every step I need to take, God, show me. Every word I'm supposed to speak, God, tell me. Why? Because I'm your friend. You hear me? God is saying, listen, church, I'm your friend. I'm not mad at you. I know you're going to make mistakes. I know you're going to misstep. I'm not mad at you. I'm your friend. You speak to your friends different than you speak to your enemies, correct? You tell your friends things that nobody else knows. Why? Because you trust them. Then why don't you trust God to tell him the things that are going on in your life? Because he wants to bring you out of them things. He don't want you there. You got to upgrade. You understand? Just like you upgrade your phone, just like you upgrade all these other things, you got to upgrade in God because of Jesus. You were created for something better than what you're living. I don't know who I'm talking to, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know what you're going through. But I know God does. And he wants you to understand today, you're living beneath your privilege if you can't walk in victory. You're living beneath your privilege if you can't say, like it says in 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. God's given you the victory, man. Like Chris said, you got the victory. It's time for you to start taking the victory lap. You're the winner. You are the winner. In God's eyes, you are the winner. Everybody else might have gave up on you. Your family gave up on you. Your husband, your wife, your kids. But you are a winner. It's time to take a victory lap. It's time to stand and put your hands up and say, I got this. I am the champ. I am the champion of this life. Hallelujah. I'm the champ. I'm the champ. Through Christ Jesus, I am the champ. No matter what it looks like, I am the champ. No matter what it feels like, I am the champ. No matter what comes against me, I am the champ. I'm the champ. Not because of me, but who I'm connected to. It has nothing to do with me. It's not about being perfect. It's about hanging out with the perfect one. Because the more you hang up with him, his perfection is going to rub off on you. His perfection is going to become a part of your life. His perfected word is going to be a part of his life, your life. His perfected actions is going to be a part of your life. Church, never forget who you're connected to. Never forget. Never forget the great love. No greater love than anyone could have than to lay down his life for a friend. He laid his life down for you because you're his friend. You're his friend. So don't forget who you're connected to. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what it looks like. You're going to win this thing. If you stay in there, go through the tears, go through the pain, go what you got to go through, because on the other side, there's victory. Amen? There's victory on the other side. This is just the process I'm going through. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of death. The valley was not the destination. It was just a pass through. That's right. Sometimes we get stuck. We get stalled out in a place that's only a pass through. So keep passing through. No matter what it looks like, keep passing through. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He that began a good work in you is able to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. But you got to stay connected, you got to stay plugged in, and you got to turn it on. Turn it up.